The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, welcome to this edition of The Chalene Show. I promise it's going to be family friendly. Today we're going to be talking about bowel movements, your stool, feces. I don't care what you call it, as long as you don't call it, oh, the kids are going to laugh when I say this, poop. I just hate that word, okay? So I'm not going to use that word. I hate that word. I don't like the word moist. I don't like the word milk. I don't like the word bulbous or pustule. I don't like the word P-O-O-P. I think it's gross. It's disgusting. But it is something we need to discuss. We just won't be using that word. We'll be using other words like your stool. How's that? Is that all right? That's probably what I'm going to use most often. It's something we have to talk about, your stools. So welcome to Stool School. And this is a very important lesson. I think you should listen with all the members of your family and the people that you care about, because it's one of those taboo topics we don't discuss very often, but we should.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Today's episode is taken from the 131 Method. This is a really important topic because we need to understand how digestion works, what leaky gut is. And when we do that, you can't help but talk about how to kind of know if there's something going on. And one of the easiest ways to know that is by looking at your stool. Your stool is an indicator oftentimes of bigger problems like candida, irritable bowel syndrome, parasites, or bacterial dysbiosis and more. These are some of the reasons why everyone's buying probiotics and talking about probiotics and talking about leaky gut. But do you really need to invest in a diagnosis when you can, just look in the toilet and know if something is going on? So what you're about to hear is one of the lessons that is in our 131 method, but I wanted to include it here for you too, because it's just really important. And I've also made certain that you can reference the chart that I'm going to be talking about. It's a stool chart, and I've included a link to that in the show notes. So you can also access that at chalenejohnson.com/podcast. And then just look for the show notes for this particular episode. Today we go back to school, stool school. And perhaps this is an education on a very normal, very natural bodily function, which you likely experience or hopefully experience every day, but know very little about. So let's set some ground rules. This isn't something yucky or gross or disgusting. It's actually something very natural. So let's just get the ickiness out of the way and face the facts that we've got to talk about bowel movements, the digestive process. I mean, if we're talking about gut healing, it's only natural that eventually we have to talk about the digestive system. And at the very end of the digestive system is, you got it, your stool, your feces, your bowel movements, or whatever other word you want to use. But it's nothing that's terribly gross. It's just natural. And if we were more comfortable with the idea of it, perhaps we'd know more about it and be more willing to talk to our doctors about it. You're going to learn everything you need to know about the digestive process, what your stool should look like, how often you should be having them, how long it takes to digest your food, color, shape, size, smell, and so much more. To begin with, the average person should be experiencing about 1 to 2 bowel movements per day. Assuming, of course, that you're consuming food. And I say that because if you're not eating very much, if you're fasting, or if you're restricting your calories, there's less for your bowels to move, and therefore you would have fewer bowel movements. In general, it should take anywhere between 12 to 24 hours for your food to complete the full digestive process. The digestive process starts when our bodies begin to make enzymes in our mouth. And our bodies do this in anticipation of food. You know that. If you've ever walked into a room where someone was making just a delicious dinner, the second that smell or aroma hits your nose, your mouth begins to water, and that function begins the digestive process. Even though this is entitled Stool School, I think the best place to start is at the beginning, a reverse engineering of the process of digestion, which starts with ingestion. The first function of the digestive process is thinking about food. Our mouth is responsible for creating saliva, and it is in our saliva where the digestive process begins. These fluids created in our mouth are called enzymes. Saliva moistens food, and it contains salivary amylase, which is a digestive enzyme that begins the digestion of carbohydrates. Now, what's very interesting is some people don't produce the right type or the right amount of amylase, creating difficulty in digesting carbohydrates. Now, the mucus that we produce serves as a protective barrier, kind of like a lubrication, if you will, inside our gastrointestinal tract, which we'll refer to as the GI tract. Your body also produces hydrochloric acid, and this acid helps to digest food chemically, and it protects the body from killing many of the bacteria that are sometimes present in our foods. Now, enzymes act like tiny little biomechanical machines that take apart the macromolecules of our food, meaning it breaks down proteins, carbohydrates, lipids, which are fats, into smaller pieces. And finally, the bile is used to emulsify large lipids into tiny little pieces that are easier for digestion. To summarize, the digestive process is what happens in our bodies when we take larger pieces of food, those things that we've chewed up, and we've broken them down into their chemical components. And I think many times we forget that our food and even the whole process inside of our body is a chemical process. The mechanical digestion is that physical breakdown of these larger pieces of food into smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. This mode of digestion begins when we start salivating, and then it continues as we chew our food. The longer we chew our food, the easier it is on our gastrointestinal system to complete the digestive process. Once we've chewed and swallowed the food through a muscular mixing of food by the stomach and our intestines, we continue through the digestive process. Now, the bile that's produced in our liver is also used mechanically to break down the fats that we digest into smaller and smaller pieces. While food is mechanically digested, it's also being chemically digested into larger and more complex molecules that are being broken down into smaller molecules, which makes it easier for our body to absorb. And we need to absorb these molecules for bodily function. The enzymes and the acids in our stomach continue the chemical digestion, breaking things down, but the bulk of our digestion actually takes place in our small intestine and is aided by the function of our pancreas. Now, the pancreas secretes an incredibly strong digestive cocktail known as pancreatic juice, which is capable of digesting fats, carbohydrates, proteins, and nucleic acids. Once food has been broken down as small as possible, the body then absorbs the nutrients. Absorption begins in the stomach, actually, with simple molecules like water and alcohol being absorbed directly into our bloodstream. If you've ever had a glass of wine on an empty stomach, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But most absorption takes place in the walls of our small intestine. The walls of our small intestine are densely folded to maximize the surface area that's in contact with digested food. Small blood and lymphatic vessels in the intestinal wall pick up those molecules and they carry them through the rest of the body. Okay, so what about the large intestine? Well, the large intestine is also involved in absorption, the absorption of water, vitamin B, vitamin K, and that all happens before whatever is left, our waste products, leave the body, known as a bowel movement, excretion, feces, the exit, whatever you want to call it. It is the final function of the digestive system. It is to excrete whatever waste process is left over. Now, defecation or feces, a bowel movement, is what happens to remove whatever we weren't able to digest from the body so that these things don't accumulate inside of our body. The timing of this defecation or our bowel movements is controlled by many functions, but it is controlled voluntarily by the conscious part of our brain. But it must be accomplished on a regular basis. Otherwise, what happens is all of that waste product backs up inside your body, a condition commonly referred to as constipation. So is that leaky gut? Well, let's talk about leaky gut. Leaky gut is a condition that many estimate over 80% of Americans experience, and many Europeans as well. And it's rarely talked about in our doctor's offices. I mean, when was the last time you went to your doctor, complained of symptoms you were having, and they asked you about your digestion, or more importantly, your food intake? As a matter of fact, many people have leaky gut and they just have no idea it's going on because they don't even understand the digestive process. So let's talk about what leaky gut really is. Leaky gut is very important because it relates to your small intestines. Your small intestine is so important because most of your vitamins and minerals and the foods that you're eating should be absorbed in your small intestines. In order for the vitamins and minerals that you're eating to be absorbed, the small intestines must contain microscopic pores, little teeny tiny pores that allow the nutrients to be transferred into our bloodstream. Once these micronutrients have been transferred into our bloodstream, then they get shuttled or transported to whatever area of the body through our blood that they are needed for bodily function. The wall of your intestine is considered semi-permeable. So I like for you to think of it as maybe a pair of women's nylons. They're semi-permeable. They might fill up with water, but depending on the thickness or opaque nature of the nylons or tights, water is going to seep through. This means that the pores of your small intestine allow certain things to enter into the bloodstream, and then it blocks other things that we don't want to enter into the bloodstream. For instance, there are certain molecules and nutrients that are allowed to pass through, but the job of a healthy small intestine is to make sure that toxins and large undigested food particles are blocked. In other words, they don't seep through. The problem with leaky gut is it's an intestinal wall that's been damaged due to inflammation. Inflammation that we may not even realize we've caused as a result of lifestyle choices, or in some cases, even foods that we thought were healthy. Leaky gut is when the pores or the openings, or what is often referred to as junctions, to open or widen. And when this happens, undigested food particles and toxins that aren't supposed to be in our bloodstream make their way into our bloodstream. What happens then? Well, our body knows that they shouldn't be there, and it's not like you'll be deathly ill. That causes your immune system to go and attack. And how does that manifest itself? Well, sometimes people think that they're experiencing allergies or bloating, general fatigue, but the most common symptom is inflammation, low-grade inflammation that we don't even realize is happening. Our bodies hold on to fluids, retaining this fluid in our joints, creating itises, fatigue, brain fog, moodiness, weight gain, hormone imbalance, hair loss, depleted energy, low libido, and basically any bodily function that you need to feel your best is diminished. So let me give you an example. Let's say you've got leaky gut and you don't realize it, and you eat an apple. By the time the apple makes its way into your small intestines, bits of undigested apple that should stay in your intestinal wall will actually slip through these widened gaps, these large open pores. So if we're trying to imagine, again, this analogy of your small intestines being like an opaque pair of women's tights, now imagine your small intestine as a pair of fishnet stockings with these big, wide open holes that shouldn't be there, allowing these large pieces to slip directly into your blood system. And because these particles are not supposed to be in your blood system in that form, the immune system knows that it's under attack and that there is something dangerous inside the body, and it goes into attack mode, which results in inflammation. Basically, your immune system says, hey, this stuff shouldn't be here. What's going on here? And it creates antibodies to protect us from them. You see, the problem is the immune system doesn't just build up antibodies to the food particles. It also begins to attack our healthy cells. And this is one way that people develop food allergies, countless autoimmune diseases, as well as neurological disorders and hormone disruption. It's crazy. Especially when you take into consideration that most experts estimate more than 80% of the population experiences leaky gut, and we weren't meant to. Why is this happening? And how do we know if we have leaky gut? Oftentimes people will ask, should I test, or which test should I ask for to determine if in fact I have leaky gut? To which most of the experts I've had the opportunity to interview have clarified for me that it's kind of pointless to test for it, considering that almost everyone does have it. If you're experiencing any of these symptoms, you can likely accurately assume you've got some form of leaky gut. And even if you don't, it's prudent for all of us to understand what it takes to create a healthy gut and to repair leaky gut and the lifestyle and dietary changes that we all have the ability to make to feel our best, to put all of these things back in balance. So how do you heal leaky gut? Well, you're doing it. And I believe the best way to do it is through knowledge. Rather than memorizing what foods are good or what foods are bad, truly understanding how your body works and how the food that you eat affects it, and how you treat yourself with sleep, by decreasing stress, engaging in the right type of exercise, and understanding how your body responds to food is the best way to heal leaky gut. See, you're already well on your way. But I have to remind you that healing leaky gut is not one thing. It's many different things. And it's making sure that you understand each one of them has significance and importance, and they must all be adhered to. It's so important. Your gut is tied to your brain health. Your brain health controls the function of every other part of your life. Your relationships, your ability to connect with others, your ability to feel good, your mood, your ability to sleep, your ability to exercise and to gain benefits from the exercise you're doing. It's all connected. We are one integrated unit. It's not the gut that's separate from the head. It's not that our hormones are separate from our mood. It's all integrated and related. And as a reminder, it's certainly not intended to replace medical care. I encourage you to find the best physician, physicians perhaps, team of professionals to work with, to be your guide, to be your partner. But to remember that ultimately it's up to us to really understand our bodies and know what's going on and to have the kind of conversations that sometimes we're embarrassed or reluctant to talk about these things. Understanding your gastrointestinal health is critical, and your bowel movements are one of the most obvious ways for you to know if there's something going on, at least something that you need to bring to the attention of a medical professional. So getting familiar with what is normal and what's abnormal is really important. Now, I'm not talking about going overboard and examining every little day-to-day change, because obviously, you know this to be true, when we eat different things, you may notice temporary differences or abnormalities in your bowel movements. But if you notice a change that lasts more than a week or two, and you're unable to trace it back to a particular change in your diet, then it's probably time to make an appointment with your doctor. Now, of course, I'm a really big fan of finding a qualified integrative medical professional, someone who practices functional medicine. And the best way to find someone who practices functional medicine is by asking around. If you are in an area where people use the Yelp app, That's another great way to read people's recommendations. But finding the right medical professional is just like finding the right dentist or the right therapist. We're talking about a human being, so there needs to be a connection. You need to feel comfortable with them, and not just with their personality, but their ability and interest and willingness to treat you as an integrative human, not just as a person with parts that don't relate or don't talk, and to understand that ultimately, food is medicine. And understanding and discussing your bowel movements could very well save, or at a minimum, change your life. So let's go into a little more detail. Let's talk about the color. A normal color should be considered light brown, like the color of cardboard, or maybe slightly darker, maybe the color of wood grain. Now, if your bowel movement is green, this indicates that your feces spent a shorter amount of time in the digestive system, which means that there was less time for nutrients to be released into the bloodstream. In other words, the more green your stool, the shorter time it spent in transit from start to finish. Shorter transit time means that your body had less time to digest the nutrients. And the greenish color of your stool is created by bile. And bile is something, of course, that we all have in our digestive tract. But it is this rapid transit, if you will, it's moving through too quickly, that doesn't allow for the reabsorption of the bile before exiting your body. What about a stool that is red? Now, if you've ever had beets and then forgotten that you had beets and then looked in your toilet bowl and thought to yourself, oh my gosh, I better get on Google. I must have colon cancer. You're not alone. That can be pretty freaky. And red is a color you want to be concerned about. But let's talk about what red you need to be worried about. It's not uncommon for some of our most natural plant-based foods to contain natural red coloring, and that vibrant color will sometimes also show up in your bowel movements. However, if you're certain you haven't had beets or anything else that was natural or red or even unnatural that had red dyes in it, and you are seeing red streaks on the outside of your stool, that should be cause for concern. That could possibly mean that there's some kind of a tear in the intestines or the rectum, or some type of an anal tear. It can also be the result of an anal irritation or hemorrhoids. These things are not uncommon. They're usually not life-threatening, but they definitely need to be monitored. This area of the body heals itself very quickly, as does the lining of your mouth. You know, if you've ever had a sore inside your mouth or accidentally bite your cheek, you know that the lining of your mouth heals very quickly. But should the presence of blood persist, or there be an increase, or a very voluminous amount, you must seek medical attention immediately. What if your stool is black? If your stool is truly black, this is something you want to seek medical attention for immediately. While it could be something minor, you don't want to rule out the fact that that dark color could also be the symptom of dried blood, meaning that there's some type of a tear or internal bleeding. Many people who have either an intestinal polyp or some other type of digestive trauma could be leaking blood into their digestive tract, and this could result in a black stool. And the reason why it would appear as black as opposed to red is because blood oxidizes as it passes through our digestive system, which means as your stool exits, it would probably be a very dark black color. Now, what about yellow? Yellow is a very rare color. Of course, again, you want to consider what foods you've eaten recently, but it is also something you want to seek medical attention for immediately because it could mean that there's a problem with your kidney function. The same is true for a white stool. If you have a stool that's the color of chalk, this could mean that there's a very serious liver issue and you should seek medical attention immediately. Now, if you have little kids, you know that it's not uncommon to see bright colored stools like blue or purple. And often, these are the result of heavy artificial dyes, like the kind of dyes that come in popsicles or sports drinks. Or for some of us as adults, if you're seeing bright colors that don't make sense, consider the foods that you've eaten and what artificial dyes you may have ingested. In general, a healthy stool should be brown and it shouldn't smell that bad. If the odor of your stool is enough to knock somebody out, there's something going on. Now, if this happens from time to time, it's no big deal. But if this has been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks, it's something you want to look into. There's a dysbiosis of the bacteria that may be causing the odor. Now let's talk about shape, the Bristol stool scale. And I'm going to describe it for you because the shape of your stool actually tells you a lot. Now, the Bristol stool scale takes into consideration just 7 types. And for obvious reasons, there are likely more than 7 different types of stool samples. But in general, this will give you some idea of what's normal and what's cause for concern. But generally speaking, this should give you a point of reference, and it should also make you much more comfortable in speaking to your physician if, in fact, there's some abnormalities going on. So again, the types are 1 through 7, and I will describe them for you. Type 1 is something most people would experience if they're very constipated. This is someone who doesn't have a regular bowel movement, and when you do have a bowel movement, type 1 is described as separate, hard lumps. Type 2 is a consistency that's a little more lumpy, again, often with hard pieces, and it's a little more sausage-like, and this is indicative of someone who's slightly constipated. Then there's what's called type 3. Type 3 is considered normal. This is a little bit more sausage-shaped with cracks on the surface, but it still forms one solid piece. Are you grossed out by this yet? You shouldn't be. So are you a type 1, 2, or 3? If you're type 1 or 2, again, hard balls, lumpy, often painful, these are signs that you are likely constipated. And it's important to know that people who experience constipation on a regular basis are most likely to have leaky gut and serious consequences of leaky gut. So that's going to create inflammation in the body and all those other symptoms we talked about. Okay, let's move on to type 4. Type 4 is the gold standard of stools. It's smooth, it's soft and sausage-like, it comes out kind of like one piece. Some people have described it as a consistency of a not yet ripe banana, and that is the gold standard of stools. So you want to be a type 3 or a type 4 if possible. Then there's type 5. Type 5 is considered soft and blobby, with clear-cut edges, but not a lot of form to it. This is typically indicative of someone who's lacking in fiber. Then there's type 6. Type 6 is mushy, like there's no form to it whatsoever, but it's not watery like diarrhea, it's just a big pile of mush. And this is a clear indication that you've got inflammation going on somewhere. Clearly a sign of leaky gut. And then there's type 7, which is purely watery. It's diarrhea. And this means there's a problem going on. This is inflammation. Now, diarrhea that you have once in a while, watery stools, which happen from time to time because you've eaten something that doesn't agree with your system, that's not so much cause for concern, although you do want to be careful that you don't become dehydrated because you're losing so much of your fluids through your stool. But again, it's not uncommon for all of us to experience liquidy stools from time to time. If, however, you are having type 7 or type 6 on a regular and consistent basis, you need to make an appointment with your doctor and figure out what's going on. This isn't normal. Normal is type 3 and type 4, where there's shape, you're having regular bowel movements, it's not uncomfortable, it's not painful, and your stools form a shape. All the other types, types 1 through 7, it's not cause for concern if you have one of those from time to time. But if you're experiencing one of those other types consistently for weeks, and you can't attribute it to something you've changed in your diet, you may want to speak with a medical professional. And if you feel like something's going on, but it's not something you want to talk to your doctor about yet, consider what's missing in your diet. We need carbohydrates, fats, proteins. We need lots of green leafy vegetables. And we need to avoid those things that don't agree with our system. Some people can have dairy. Others cannot. Maybe you love almonds, but they just wreak havoc on your digestive system. It's all about figuring out what agrees with us and not being opposed to looking in the toilet bowl to figure out what's going on with our digestion. And while I want to encourage you to seek medical attention, it's also important that you remember food is medicine. So if you're experiencing types 1 or 2, or any regular constipation, it's important to know that you need to improve your hydration. Drinking more water. The reason why your stool appears this way is because your body, which is in need of water, will absorb any content available, even the water that's in your digestive tract. Therefore, the stool loses water through your intestines because your body needs fluids, it needs water. The brain knows that we need water for basic bodily function, and it knows that it can get it from the digestive tract, making, of course, a bowel movement much more uncomfortable. But if your body is resorting to taking water from your digestive tract, that means you are not consuming enough water. That might be one reason, but there are other causes of constipation, dehydration just being one of them. And chronic constipation is a pretty good indication that you've got leaky gut. What about an oily stool? A bowel movement that floats, or when you see oil on the surface of the water, may indicate that your body is not properly digesting the fat content in your diet. Unfortunately, many of us assume that if we are seeing oil in the toilet bowl or a bowel movement that floats, that we should be cutting back on our fats. Well, in many instances, this is actually a sign that the digestive system is lacking in some of the essential enzymes that it needs to break those fats down and use them as energy. And again, if this happens from time to time, it's probably nothing to be concerned about. But if it's happening on a regular basis for weeks, you should seek medical attention. Stool types 6 and 7, which are either watery or almost pureed, like soft stool without any form, these are also very indicative of leaky gut. It is possible that you suffer from irritable bowel syndrome, candida, IBD, or you have a very acidic level in your gut biome, which is killing off the good bacteria. Remember, we have good bacteria and bad bacteria, and we need both. This may be also indicative of some type of bacterial virus or an unhealthy parasite. In any event, stool without much consistency or shape or form is indicative of bacterial dysbiosis. Dysbiosis just meaning things are out of balance. We've got to get your bacteria back in balance. And I know our first thought is, well, should I take a probiotic, a prebiotic, or start eating fermented foods? And while yes, those things are helpful, we have to attack all of the areas that improve our gut health. And ultimately, we can't be afraid to talk to our medical professionals about what's going on. I hope that you found this interesting. I hope that you'll share it with members of your family. And I hope that the next time you're in the bathroom, you won't be opposed to looking down to see what's going on. The more we know, the more empowered we feel, the more we understand the way our body works and the ability that we have to improve bodily function, the closer we are to optimal health. I know you found this information interesting, and it's important because the more we know, the more empowered we are, and that makes us confident, and it gives us the ability to improve and take control of our health. Because every piece of knowledge that you get and that you remember and you recall will get you one step closer to making health just a way of life. And one of the easiest ways to do that is by reiterating what you've just heard. So I know it sounds strange. I want you to bring up this topic with the next group of people that you're with, all right? Just do it. It'll be funny, and it's your opportunity to kind of make some of this information stick. So maybe re-listen, maybe not. Oh, and also another thing, hit me up in social media and tell me what words you find disgusting in the English language. All right, thank you so much for listening. You are thebomb.com. I'll talk to you soon. I love you. I mean it. This edition of The Chalene Show was brought to you by 131 Movement. Stop dieting. Save your brain. Save your gut. Live longer. Feel better. Stop going on a diet or following somebody else's rules and figure out what it means to have your own diet. Figure out a method that actually serves you, that helps you to be a better version of yourself. Let go of all of this craziness and confusion that surrounds diet and understand the science of one, the study of one. Join the 131 movement today. We're taking back the word diet and getting what we are rightfully entitled to, which is our health. you deserve not just to look amazing, but to feel amazing. I'd love for you to learn more about my personal journey and why this is a true passion for me. I invite you to learn more by going to 131movement.com.